Readings taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, beginning at the first verse, the account of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he'd loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress. The devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you will have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who've had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. That was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them."
Thank you, Philip. Shall we pray together? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, good morning to you all, and it's very good to be back here amongst you all. For those of you that don't know, the last couple of weeks I've been away in Uganda with Chris and a small team from our deanery, visiting the different dioceses that we have a link with through our local deanery. It was a really excellent trip, very tiring, very encouraging, very challenging, and very exhausting. So this is my 10th sermon in the last 2 weeks that I'm delivering today. Three of those, I had 2 minutes' notice on which to prepare before I preached. And one such service, I was sitting worshipping with some the rest of the team, and it was all happening in a different language, so I didn't know exactly what was going on. And then the chap sitting next to me turned to me and said, "Now you're on, and you're going to preach." I was like, right, okay, with less than a minute's notice. I'll think of something then. Anyway, fortunately, I've done a bit more preparation for this morning than some of my sermons in the last few weeks. But next week, there's going to be some feedback from the rest of the team about our trip, some of the things that we did, some of the people that we encountered, some of the projects that we went to, as a way of trying to help fill you in on what went on and encourage you to continue our support and prayer for the link that we have out there with those three different dioceses. But this morning's sermon is based on this passage in John 13, and this is the last sermon in a series where we've been thinking about our church vision, the three aspirations that we have, and the five actions we're taking to try and bring about that vision. For those of you that haven't been here in the last 8 weeks, let me refresh your memories. Our church vision is to live the Jesus life. The three aspirations are to grow deeper, grow wider, and grow younger. And over the last few weeks, we've been thinking about five specific actions. Inviting others to events or services in which they can hear the good news of who Jesus is and encounter something of his love. Telling people about who Jesus is and the difference he's made in your life. Giving money to the work of the church in order that we can try and make the vision a reality. Encouraging everyone to be praying for how we grow deeper, wider, and younger. And finally, today, in serving. Living the Jesus life in serving. The last of our sermon series before we begin that journey towards Christmas and celebrating the birth of Jesus. So this morning we're focusing on living the Jesus life in serving. Perhaps no passage illustrates the source and nature of the heart of a servant more than John 13. We're here in the upper room. On the night before his crucifixion, Jesus and his disciples have been celebrating, or will be celebrating, the Passover. And it's here that Jesus dramatically drives home the issue and nature of what it means to be a servant. So imagine the scene. All had been prepared for this last meal with the disciples. With the exception of one thing, according to the custom of the day, a servant would appear with a basin of water and a towel and would wash the feet of each of the guests in turn who'd walk through the dirty, dusty roads of Jerusalem to be there for that meal. But who would take the position of this servant and perform the task? I can just see the disciples looking around and expecting someone else to do this most menial of tasks. But never for one moment considering that they might be the one that should perform the task. And then, out of the blue, as all the disciples are looking at the other, almost trying to give the nod, say, you ought to do this, or perhaps it's your turn to do this. As the perfect picture of and lesson of servanthood, Jesus rose from the table, laid aside his outer garment, put a towel around his waist, and he took up the basin and began washing the feet of each of his disciples. Jesus was assuming the role of a slave and a servant. He was the one serving his disciples. No task was below him. No task was too menial, too dirty, too insignificant. Firstly, we should note that the source of Jesus' actions lay in his knowledge and the security of who he was and where he was going. Jesus was completely aware of his sovereign authority, his identity as God's beloved Son. But he also knew where he was going. He knew that shortly he would be arrested, tried, and crucified, where he would die. He willingly and obediently submitted and depended by faith in what the Father was doing. And so in that confidence, he voluntarily took the place of a slave and washed his disciples' feet. His thinking, his actions are in stark contrast to those of the insecurity of his own disciples, none of whom was willing to pick up the towel and take the place of a servant. I wonder how easily we would find it to take up the basin to wash the feet of others. How easy would we find it to serve others, to perform simple menial tasks? In the last week or so, I've spent a number of days with different families, and I wanted to share just one story with you. On the second family that I went to visit, I was staying with a pastor. He and his wife and his two children lived in a very small, simple house that had four rooms. There was a rather large sort of lounge come dining room, very sparsely furnished with a number of plastic chairs, a small table, and a TV. And then out the back there was some crockery on a side table and a few pots and pans. There was a very small kitchen space behind that, and then there were two bedrooms. And when I arrived, the pastor said, "Let me come and show you to your room." And he took me to this room to the side where there was literally just a double bed with a mosquito net over it. Nothing else in the room. And he said, this is your room. We've prepared this for you." And I said, "Thank you." And he said, "It's got an accompanying," I can't remember what he said now, but basically it was a toilet in the next room, and there was a tap there where I could wash. And he said, this is for you." And I said, "Thank you." Now, I didn't think to ask where he would be sleeping or his kids would be sleeping. It turned out that I was sleeping in he and his wife's bedroom, and they'd taken all of their possessions out of it, except for the bed, for which I was able to use. And he and his children had gone to sleep in their children's room, where there was one single bed, and there were four of them sleeping in that room. I didn't realize that until almost the end of my stay. And as I lay in this bed at night, I remember feeling this distinct feeling of awkwardness and guilt. I had so much, and here I was in this bedroom that had next to nothing in it. I felt awkward. I felt like this wasn't my home. The bed wasn't particularly comfortable, and all I was doing was moaning about what I didn't have, about the lack of sanitary facilities that I could or couldn't enjoy, depending on how you want to see it. And as I lay there at night, I sensed this overwhelming guilt for all that I have, all that I take for granted, all that I enjoy back here. And yet here was this family who had given up their own bedroom for me to use. And they were willingly serving me and going above and beyond what I could possibly imagine or expect, and making huge sacrifices in order to be hospitable to me. And I spent the next three nights wrestling with how I was feeling about how much they'd given up and how they were serving me and how awkward that made me feel. I share that story with you partly because I think that I know that we take so much for granted, But I wanted to illustrate something of the servant-heartedness of this family and their willingness to give up almost all that they had in order to host me. And that made me feel really, really uncomfortable. I think because of the fact that I just take so much for granted and I have so much. And it also started to make me think, what would I be willing to give up to serve others, to serve people in need, to serve those that are downtrodden, overlooked, not taken seriously? To what lengths would I be willing to go to serve others, to put the needs of other people above my own? I haven't got any simple answers for that, but only to say it's a work in progress and know that God is stirring up my heart. I wonder what God might be saying to you about the way in which we serve, or the way in which we think we're involved in serving others, serving here in church, serving other people in our community, serving our neighbours, serving our work colleagues and friends. You see, Jesus' security, his love and his confidence in the Father and the future, he allowed the Lord Jesus to assume the position of a servant, because he was secure in who he was, that he was loved by the Father, that he was called by the Father to take up this role. And in an amazing example of humility and self-abasement, it's the heart attitude and actions of one willing to give themselves away for the sake of another at great cost. The willingness to promote and serve the needs of another at cost to oneself. This attitude, faith and action portrayed his entire ministry on earth and provides us with the perfect example of what he wants to do in our lives. But this also demonstrates how servant living is accomplished in us, through faith and understanding of who we are in Christ, our gospel identity as God's beloved children. You see, after Jesus finished washing the feet of his disciples, he returned to his place at the table and made this very pointed application. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done for you. So having pointed to his actions as an example for all his disciples to follow him, Christ then drove home an inescapable lesson. In some translations, it's defined as a solemn truth. If he, their master, and the one they worshipped assumed the role of a servant to minister others, then certainly they must likewise take up the towel of servanthood as a minister to others rather than seek to elevate themselves. Ironically, and contrary to thinking of the world, true blessing comes in serving others. And what disturbed me most about the family that I stayed with was at the end of my stay, they said, "Thank you for coming to visit us. It has been such a great blessing to have you here living with us." And I found that really humbling to hear, and amazing servant-heartedness and love being shown by this couple. You see, the fundamental issue in living as servants, as those committed to meeting the needs of others, is a deep down humility that is willing to pick up the servant's towel regardless of one's position, status, or power. No matter what one's station or condition in life, whether you be a king, prince, a queen, a peasant, a slave person, free, rich or poor, strong or weak, brilliant or slow of mind, it makes no difference. In Christ, God calls us all as his followers and disciples to live as servants, serving others, with the Lord Jesus as our primary example. As we seek to live out this gospel identity as servants of Christ, so we share in Christ's identity as a servant. And the upside-down dynamic of the kingdom means that our posture towards one another and the world is all important. We bring healing, restoration, and a message of good news to the degree with which we are able to live as servants. What difference would it make if this was your posture, your understanding of your identity? I am a servant of Christ, one that seeks to do whatever he asks me to do. What would it look like for us to live under the reign of Christ as servants sent into Down End and the wider Bristol area? What might happen if we rested in that identity as being a servant of Christ? You see, servants of Jesus do whatever he wants, wherever he wants it, for whoever he wants. Obedience is a servant activity. We obey because we've been bought. We're owned by God. He saved us. He paid the price with his blood. We belong to him. He is our master. We are his servants. We are his. Jesus humbly took on the posture of a servant to serve us. Does that make you feel uncomfortable? Jesus, the Son of God, came to serve you. He left the throne room of heaven. He laid aside his divinity. He took on human flesh, not so that he could be served, but so that he could serve others. We know from the Gospels that Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. He spoke what he heard the Father saying. And so he wrapped himself in a servant's towel and he washed his disciples' feet. Jesus was willing to serve those estranged from the Father, even to the point of death, so that his followers with a new identity rooted in Christ were able to take up a similar posture and identity in seeking to serve the broken world in which we live. And so as servants of Christ, we joyfully give all that we are, all that we have in serving Jesus. Our lives, our talents, our time, our careers, our finances, our relationships, all that we have to God as we seek to grow in obedience to the Lord. We seek to strive to offer every aspect of ourselves as a living sacrifice for God to use however he wills, as we seek to wholeheartedly worship him with all of our lives. We are a people called to be a blessing to all nations. And as Jesus works through us, we intentionally seek God's direction for those for whom he would have us blessed through our words, our gifts, our actions, our time, our talents, everything that we are, everything that we have. Because serving is the behavior of a believer. It's not an option. It's a mandate. Part of our identity is to be a servant, to do whatever our master asks us to do. Let me finish there, and I'm just going to provide a little bit of space for you to reflect on some of those things. Maybe God's been speaking to you specifically, or there's been maybe something that you've taken hold of, a word or a phrase, or something that's stirred you up, churned you up. I pray that's the work of the Spirit speaking to you. So let's just be still in that space, and I'll give you time to listen, chew on whatever it is, and then I'm going to pray. Let's be still in the presence of God. Heavenly Father, you know how difficult it is for each of us here to seek to live a servant life. You know how we like to be in control, to make decisions. But I pray that as we look to Jesus and follow his example, that you might fill us with your Spirit and equip and enable us to be ones who follow after him. Who willingly take up the bowl and the towel, who are willing to pay the price and the cost to serve those around us. Lord God, would you teach us to be servants? Amen.